Brian McAuliffe has resigned. In a statement released at 10 a.m, the Sinn Féin MP, or former, we should say, for West Tyrone, said the reason he was stepping aside was the recent King's Mills controversy he was involved in. Let's talk to Steve Aiken from the UUP. Thank you very much for joining us, Steve. What do you reckon? Are you surprised to hear this from Brian McAuliffe and the fact it's come a few days after things had settled slightly?
Well, I think we all expected after Declan Kearney's statement last week that Barry McAuliffe would have resigned, or Sinn Féin would have forced him to resign, because that was the only honourable thing that could have been done. And now I'm glad to see that he has, and I'm glad to see that he has said it. He wants to do it on the basis of reconciliation. But I have no doubt from what was going on in the media in the Irish Republic over the weekend, particularly sort of the response on some of the shows there, and particularly from the very dignified way that the members of the King's Mill community had been expressing themselves and their views, that the message came very loud and clear to Sinn Féin that it was time for McAuliffe to go. And he has done the right thing, and he's gone. It's just a bit disappointing. It's taken a week to happen.
Let's just bring you some more of the statement from Brian McAuliffe. He says, King's Mills was wrong, unjustifiable and sectarian. It should never have happened. There was no intended reference to King's Mill in my tweet. This is, of course, referring to that tweet, the video of him in a supermarket with a loaf of King's Mill bread on his head, and it was posted a matter of moments into the 42nd anniversary of the massacre. He said, there was no intended reference in my tweet, but I do accept that there are many people who do not believe this to be the case. I accept also that this view of what happened is deeply damaging to the reconciliation processes, and that is so important to consolidating the peace process and to healing the pain and the hurt of the past. I cannot undo the pain caused, but I know that my continuing role as MP for West Tyrone will compound that sense of hurt and impede any reconciliation process. We'll speak to Jim Alistair from the TUV in just a moment. We're also joined on the line by Alison Morris from the Irish News. Are you surprised, Alison, as Steve is, that this has taken a week to come?
I think so, and I think the fact that it came at his own hand rather than being pushed by the party is quite significant. I think Brian McAuliffe probably thought that this would all blow over, that it would all go away, and I've also heard that he was quite angry at the fact that his party colleagues who have given interviews haven't defended him in any way, have continually said how unacceptable it was. I think he thought that when they accepted the fact that there was no malicious intent and suspended him, he would then have the support. But as we know, and we've seen with the John O'Dowd interview last week, Sinn Féin have fully accepted the hurt and the pain that this had caused to victims. I think that the role of
Alison, to clarify what you were saying there. So Barry was angry at the response from within his own party.
I think he thought he would get more support from within his own party in relation to that. Once the suspension was in place, he had assumed, I suppose, that members of his party would come out then and publicly defend him and say that they accepted that he didn't intend to cause any hurt.
So was it the silence, do you think, that angered him?
I think that there was a lot we had seen, especially with the John O'Dowd interview, where he didn't condemn completely, but he did say, you know, leave the comedy to the comedians, and he in no way tried to justify his actions. And that has been a sort of growing resentment, I would imagine. Brian McAuliffe is very popular in that constituency, and I think Sinn Féin are very keen to avoid a by-election in that area. It could become quite a messy by-election. There's already been talk of a unionist unity candidate, possibly maybe a victim, and that you could see how that could become quite messy for the party. Even though it's a safe seat, you know, the chances of them losing it are extremely remote.
How do you think the constituency, the people that voted for him, Alison, will respond to this?
This is interesting because he is so popular and his family are so popular and so well got in that area that there was a lot, you could see even online, there was support for him coming from people who had been quite loyal to him in that area. So they're going to have to choose their candidate very carefully because it'll have to be someone that obviously would gather the same kind of local support. But I think that just across the board, Sinn Féin were in a very difficult position in the fact that this wasn't something that happened that was orchestrated by their political rivals. This wasn't just unionists speaking out. A lot of the condemnation was coming from within Republican communities and Republicans themselves, and also from other victims, albeit of maybe loyalist or state violence, who were also accepting the hurt that was caused. So they were in a very difficult position, and this wasn't going to go away. And that's the issue here. It just wasn't going to blow over and another political scandal was going to come on and take over. This is something that will stay with them forever. So I'm surprised it did take a week for him probably to consider his position. I think that he truly thought he would be able to hang on to that seat and this would all go away. And it's taken a week for him to realise, first of all, it's not going to go away, and second of all, that his party aren't going to, you know, fully stand behind him in this sort of situation that he was in some ways, not thrown to the wolves by any means, given the 3-month suspension, but he was being left out in the cold when it came to publicly supporting him.
Alan Black, the only survivor of Kingsmill, did an interview, quite a powerful interview on RTE over the weekend. Do you think that and then the possible damage that then in turn was doing to the party, it had something to do with Barry's decision to stand down?
I think that anyone who has any sort of human feelings or compassion could not help but be moved. But that interview that Alan Black did, Alan Black has been a very powerful voice in this, because he's not a man who has ever in any way used his victimhood to political point score. He's been a very, very dignified, and he's a lovely man. You know, if you ever speak to him, you know, his heart is obvious that he's carried around with him from all those years, and to have been the survivor of such an attack and still to manage to be so not bitter and so eloquent. And I think that he expressed the views of a lot of victims, not just victims of the IRA, but his thoughts probably reflected quite accurately the views of a lot of other victims. And that has bound to have had an impact on the party and their decision. But also, I think that Barry McIlduff and his family, probably at this stage, he has considered that the best thing that he could do probably is stand aside,
okay,
and let this go, you know, let the healing, I suppose, begin.
Alison Morris from the Irish News, thank you very much. Just to give you some statement from the leader of Sinn Féin in the North, Michelle O'Neill, she says Barry recognises that this controversy and his continuing role in public office is compounding the distress to the victims of Kingsmill, and again offers his profound apology to those families. Do you read anything into that, Jim? Does that carry any water for you? Jim Allister,
well, I acknowledge that Mr. McIlduff has done the right thing. It took a while, but he's got there. I think that it does raise an interesting question about Marcia Nomuger, because if it's right for McIlduff to resign, and it is, then what about Mr. Nomuger, who thought it appropriate to retweet the very thing which has caused McIlduff to go? I think, therefore, we need to hear more from Mr. Amelier, and we need to hear, is he considering his position? Because he compounded the hurt by retweeting it. Now, whether or not Mr. McIlduff has been pushed or whether he's jumped, I suppose it's very hard to know, but I'm sure that Sinn Féin, it's quite obvious, we're on the back foot on this, and we'll welcome the relief that this brings them. So it may well be he's been pushed. They alone will know that. But the fact is, this should never have happened.
Why do you think, Jim, that this has taken a week to come, or do you think something else has happened in the meantime?
Well, I think Mr. McIlduff and others in Sinn Féin, and of course the 3-month penalty was a bit of a joke. I think they thought they could get away with it. And it's quite clear it hasn't been dying down, and that it was continuing to be damaging to Sinn Féin's reputation, because they were those who were pretending that they had an interest in the rights of others and demanding rights for themselves. And clearly this was in gross contradiction of that. So I think they have sought to sanitise their own position by seeing him go. And he is obliged, as I say, whether pushed or jumped, we don't know. Whether or not there could also even be a choreography with the attempt to resuscitate the political talks, who knows? But one thing's clear, Mr. McIlduff acted in an outrageous fashion. He should never have done what he did. He should have faced up to it at the time. He has now faced up to it, and that's better late than never.
Jim, thank you. Stuart Dixon from the Alliance Party. What does it say that Barry McIlduff has taken the decision himself to step down and has not been sacked by the party as a result of what happened?
Well, I think the whole sorry episode that we have faced over the last week or so since Mr. McIlduff's video demonstrates, and I think even thrown into sharp contrast by the dignity of Alan Black, it demonstrates to us the need to deal with the suffering and the needs of all victims in Northern Ireland. And if there's anything that has come from this, it is that that now must be central to how we move Northern Ireland forward. A genuine need to deal with our victims so that they will be dealt with dignity, so that they will be dealt with compassion, and so that they can see that there will be effective means to deal with the suffering which they have been going through. And this whole sorry episode has highlighted that for us.
Steve Aiken, do you think will unionists see this then as a golden opportunity to try and win that seat?
Listen, Benny, I think at this stage everybody's just absorbing the fact that Barry McIlduff has done the right thing. And another thing we need to be considering is the fact that, you know, when Sinn Féin made the ridiculous decision last week that he would get a 3-month suspension on full pay, and the media is reporting he was still working out of his office during the week, I think the fact that, bearing in mind what's happened in, and particularly those very powerful media interview, as I said, on over the weekend in the Irish Republic, that has changed the dynamic and where it's going to at the moment. And I think at this stage, let's see what's going to happen.
Do you think as the mood music changed, Steve, in any way between the DUP and Sinn Féin? We were talking on Friday about Thursday night's The View programme with Mark Ruthers and John O'Dowd and Eben Poots, and the interaction and the tone between the two of them.
Funny, I think one of the most interesting things was Arlene's speech in Killarney and sort of what was coming from that. And I think I said today in the Belfast Telegraph, if that she is speaking on behalf of all the DUP, not just her part of the DUP and the Westminster part of the DUP is doing something different, but if she's speaking on part of all the DUP, maybe there is an opportunity for moving forward. But again, you know, we've been here many times before, but let's see what this week brings.
OK, Steve Aiken, thank you. Let's take a call on this before we end the programme. Graham in Portadown. Good morning to you, Graham.
Good morning, Vinnie. Vinnie, let's knock this on the head, first of all. Nobody actually believes that Mr. McIlduff resigned voluntarily. This was a party political stunt, and he was probably...
Well, how do you know that, Graham?
To do it. Well, you don't know he did voluntarily, so let's not...
Well, he's saying that he did voluntarily, and so was the party, so...
Yeah, and we all believe him, Vinnie. Let's be honest about it. If this was a genuine act, he would have done it last week. Too little, too late. A political stunt, and what a good posturing to take the moral high ground.
He's still now unemployed, so he's still now, as a result of him stepping down, he's without a job. Does that stand for anything, Graham, or do you think it is just too little, too late?
It's too little, too late. This is just political posturing, and as I say, this is fake news and political posturing to say we're going to take the moral high ground, and we
Graham,
that. Nobody believes this rubbish.
Okay, Graham, thank you very much.